You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. Half men, half couch.
I need a Fitbit just to see if I can break the record for the least amount of movement.
42 steps the whole day. That's to the bathroom and back a few times and into bed.
I swear I'll do that for Sunday. This thing's going to call the paramedics.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
We have a big one on a Monday. It is not Mail It In Monday at all. I will say this. You thought you were going to act and feel like a slob on Sunday. I felt like one an hour ago. Really? In the elevator. Started working out today. Did my first one. Going to get back at it tomorrow. So in the elevator, I asked the guy, where is the gym? Like, we're going down to the lobby to go to work, whatever. I go, where's the gym in this place? Like, in our condo building. He goes, brand new to the building, are we? I go, actually, no. Moved in July.
Just looked
at it. That's what motivated. I'm like, July, you've never seen the gym? I go, no, I moved in July. I go, as you can tell.
That's nothing, man. That's nothing. I once moved into a building because it
happened. Someone's got to send us a note. Have you ever, like, moved in and moved out and never seen the
gym? I'm telling you the story right now. I moved into a place because it had a pool. Specifically because it had a pool.
And you never went there.
Not once. I didn't put a toe in that thing.
Why would you want a pool, dude?
Because, for starters, swimming is incredibly, it's active, it's very good for you.
You said to the realtor, make sure there's a pool?
It wasn't a realtor. It was one of those old, crummy buildings around Young and Eglinton. I was in my 20s. I was in Peter Griffin Esquire territory.
So you thought you were going to swim your way
back into shape.
Did you do like the Farley? Like, which way is the pool?
It was.
Do you remember when he walked out at the motel?
Right. Do you know that he dated that girl in real life?
Really?
Yes. That was his real life girlfriend.
Wow.
Which is a great haul by Tommy Boy.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it was one of the closing details for me. Because I was looking for a new spot, and there was a pool, and I was like, this is going to be great for me.
I can get into
the pool.
You can get into the pool, but it's also a good scenario to sell to your friends. Like, hey, come on by. We'll go to the pool, a few drinks.
Not once. So just July up until January, I'm telling you, man, you're not in that bad a company. But it's a good start. I went to the gym for the first time in months this morning as well. You and I were kindred spirit. I'll tell you why.
Is it because of you yesterday?
Because of yesterday. I had an epiphany. I can't do that. Okay, so I can't do it anymore.
Walk us through,
what's your number, by the way? Your big thing was you wanted to keep it under 42 steps.
Before you do that, walk us through your weekend, first and foremost, because we knew that Aaron and
Amy, why are you asking for this? You would think that this guy would go out with his buddies, he would do this, he would do that. He sat around his own house by himself the whole weekend.
Well, partially true. Let's point out, this weather is the most disgusting weather I've ever experienced in my life.
There's a snowstorm on Saturday.
I'll tell you one thing. This challenges the man who loves a dart, does it not?
Yes, it does.
Guy who goes outside in minus 21?
This, if you are windows down cigarette guy, you are really committed to making sure that car
is
fresh.
This one begs the question, honey, can I smoke on the couch?
It really does challenge that whole philosophy.
Text us, email us, tweet us if anyone has asked you, can I smoke inside this weekend?
It also challenges certain styles. I witnessed a guy in this building no more than an hour ago. Bare feet Tevas. Tevas without socks, barefoot. This guy's walking around the compound up here. I guess he's just fully committed. 365, he hates socks, he hates shoes.
Wow.
This guy's in a business environment. It's minus infinity outside. He's walking around with no socks and Tevas on.
It was cold.
Blowing darts or just walking?
No, he's working here. He's just working. Standard procedure. I was flabbergasted when I saw that guy.
It is comfortable inside, I will say, but you don't.
Still.
You got to dress for the part here.
Dress for the part and send a vibe out like I understand what's going on in the real world. But I didn't do much this weekend. We had a work get together, a function on Saturday, and then I was at the Eaton Center. I was out all day Saturday. So Saturday night, admittedly, I was planning on going out with the boys. Everyone pulled the shoot.
You weren't greased Friday night? Or
no, I wasn't. Because I had to be up at 7 in the morning to get downtown for this work function on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
So Friday, I didn't do anything. Saturday, I had plans, but all the boys, everyone pulled the shoot. They're like, it's a tundra outside.
Nobody would have gone out Saturday
night. It's stupid.
It would have been a ghost town.
If you were committed to go out Saturday night, you have a real problem. Like, somebody should really have an intervention. Because if you love the club so much that you're out this past Saturday...
Dude, I guarantee you the ladies had their club outfits on with just the giant jacket and the whole deal. Into the club, no issue.
I saw a shacker on Saturday morning right at the corner of Front and York, like right by the Union Station. And obviously, you know, I think she had been out the night before, stayed at a guy's house, and he clearly had been like, I got to get out of here, so you got to get out of here. She had the thinnest leather jacket and a belly top on.
Ooh.
At 8:30 in the morning.
Did you just
on
use
Saturday.
The term shacker?
Yeah.
Is that like
I've never
you
heard
shacked
that.
Never
I've
heard never heard shackers? That either.
Oh, it's a big term. It's
like a
millennial term.
Walk of shame type of thing or whatever. But that's
it goes
that's
both ways. The boys walk ways. Home too, man.
So that's the woke version of
From our era, it was walk of shame. Now it's a shacker, I guess.
Shacker.
They stay the night, and it's like, all right.
They're trying to shack up, and you say, take a lot.
We got to move on here.
Wow.
But anyway, so because it was so cold, I was like, I'm good. I'm going to stay in Saturday night, and I had big plans to do absolutely nothing Sunday. But because it snowed, and because I was out all day Saturday, I was too lazy to shovel when I got home.
Yeah.
I got home around 7 o'clock. So I had to shovel on Sunday.
Oh, no.
Dude, there's where you're wrong. It's only you. What do you got to shovel for?
But they're coming home.
No, they're not.
No, they're not.
They're not home until next week. But
why would you shovel then?
A couple of reasons. One, I'm living in a community here. Like, everyone else has their driveway and sidewalk shoveled. Literally everyone else but me. I had to get out there.
You succumbed to the pressure. You pulled a Peter Chiarelli. You got pressured and you made a move.
You're
Peter Chiarelli. You're not Peter Griffin. You're Peter Chiarelli. Give the kid down the street $20.
You're right. But
or drive up and down your driveway with your tires. It flattens it out and it looks like you cared.
$100. Not 20.
Not in that weather.
100 in minus 20 weather?
In that weather, it's 100.
That's got to be a 50. That's a red note
that's
a brown one.
100%.
Sure.
So from that standpoint, I knew I had to get out there.
Yeah.
But so I wake up. And because I didn't do anything, I'm up at like 8:30 on Saturday morning. I can't sleep in anymore.
Yeah.
By the time I got up, got to the washroom, got dressed, went down, breakfast, some coffee, got on the couch.
Steps.
I'm well over 100 steps. I was so demoralized by the time I finally hit the couch, I essentially just said, I'm done. I can't do it.
Okay, but
it's impossible to keep the steps down. Impossible.
But you had a great day. I mean, there was some great viewing yesterday, was there not?
Taking
it was the ultimate.
Let me throw out the total steps was 1,279.
Oh, come on.
Like, I wasn't even close.
You know why? You were pacing in overtime.
I was. And the shoveling cost me about 800. So we're talking about 479. That's a pathetic day.
Yeah.
Like, I did nothing. I didn't leave the house other than shovel. Nothing. I sat home and watched football and movies. And
so what you're saying is the people that send in 45 steps...
It's impossible.
Yeah, because you're not even taking... You're pissing yourself on your couch.
You had to...
Well, that's... I think that's what the point of it is there are people that lazy that they'll just...
Right.
No.
Just go, man.
It's like,
just go.
Like people that are real bad gamblers, they wear diapers on the table.
I know that.
That's what
like
I'm going to...
30-hour
I'm
going to
witness that while you guys are golfing. I'm going to see some guy with a diaper on.
I feel like I've let a lot of people down. I feel shame. I feel like Danny Lemieux right now. I've matured too much and I just can't do nothing all
Don't
day and just sit
yourself
there. I feel
up
really horrible about this.
A lot of people thought of you.
Thank you.
But there was some great games. Like there was
unbelievable.
Those football
games
were
first time in history both the AFC and NFC championship game go to overtime.
And the road team, both road team.
Rams-Pats Super Bowl. I don't think there was a wrong final combination, but the story of the weekend is Brady, Belichick, and the Pats doing it again.
And how about this, though? Can I throw another sub-story? Like, would refereeing be...
Yes, the missed pass interference in the Saints game.
That could be one of the more egregious ones you've ever seen.
That's their Gretzky high stick. Like, that will exist in New Orleans
there's
for the rest of time.
There's on the highways already saying we were robbed instead of, like, fasten your seatbelt. We were robbed.
Right. That's their Gretzky high stick, game 6, 93.
And
that's what it is.
And you've said numerous times you don't believe in replay, you don't believe, you know, blah, 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 blah. How can there not be a reviewable play on that where somebody says, this is so egregious, we have to fix this? Do you not agree?
No,
Come on.
I'm not going to change my mind on it. I hate instant replay. The problem with instant replay...
So what is the guy that was standing right there when that happened? What does he have to say about it?
Well, I don't know what his explanation is.
The most egregious missed call in the history of the NFL.
But you know what that is? That play is Matt Duchene 10 feet offside. Let's not change the whole history of the game and the future because of something so egregious.
Well,
it was such a joke. I can't believe they all missed that call.
What do you think the outrage if the Matt Duchene offside cost that team going to the Stanley Cup Finals? That's the difference, man. Wow. That was a regular season game in February, I believe, that stupid offside was.
Yeah, in Nashville.
But it changed the course of the history of the sport. They've totally changed the rules.
Here's a question for you that I was trying to figure out, and I believe I was talking to Steph about this last night. All these referees, they do this for a living. Do they not in the NFL? Or some of them, are they part-time?
No, I think they're now full-time. Forever, they were part-time.
That's what I thought. Like, a guy's an insurance adjuster during the week, and then he's got a multi-billion dollar sport in his hands on the weekend.
They're full-time, and they're making a lot of money.
Good.
Like, good money.
Because that's the one thing that I kept thinking. Like, I hope these guys are full-time. I would imagine in the playoffs, you get the best of the best, but... To miss that call, I know it's human error. The guy, I forget his name, admitted like that was pass interference every day of the week.
That was the most incredible scene, was that the defensive back, Nickel Roby Coleman was his name. Roby Coleman.
He admitted it.
Admits, not only was it pass interference, I meant to do it.
Yeah.
Because
like,
I didn't even look at the ball.
He's like, I didn't even look at the ball.
I didn't want to give up a touchdown. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like, hey, I was trying to make a play, and yeah, now that I look back on it, that was pass interference. No, I meant to perform pass interference because I knew if I didn't, it was a touchdown and the game was over.
Yeah,
like it was. There's no explaining it. I don't know how the crew doesn't convene. How somebody on that field wearing stripes doesn't say, obviously we missed it because it was pass interference, helmet to helmet.
Yeah,
there were two or three rules that were broken in that play.
The receiver was 5 feet off the ground, horizontal.
It wasn't even close.
There was no chance for
him. No question.
He got crushed.
But the Rams, you know, they didn't kill the clock, and they still had opportunities. They breezed through an interception in overtime. Yep. They won the coin toss. Look at Brady and the Pats. They won the toss. They never gave the ball back. The Rams...
Man, how tough is that rule? It's like you win a coin toss and you don't get any chance at all.
That's tough, dude. And I've said this before on this show. The overtime rules in the NFL stink.
Yeah, they do. I agree with that.
Like, they stink. And I remember this was a couple years ago, me saying this to you, Brian, and you said, well, it rarely happens. And then we've seen ties in the NFL since. And then a scenario like this, like the fact that Casey didn't get a chance to at least get the ball. Like, if there's a touchdown on one end, you should be able to at least, okay, you need the next drive, you've got to match that touchdown.
I don't know many people, I'm sure there's a couple of contrarians out there, but I don't know many people that would disagree with each team gets possession at least once. They just changed the rules a few years ago where if you win the coin toss and you only kick a field goal,
then you
don't win the game. The other team gets an opportunity to either match that field goal or win it with their own touchdown.
Right.
That was them accepting that their antiquated way of doing things wasn't right.
It's ridiculous.
Wasn't proper. Was ridiculous. So why only take a half step? Why be half pregnant?
But that's
go
right.
all in and give both teams the opportunity.
Because the kid's sitting there... The MVP.
And he had an unbelievable second half.
Exactly. Like, they go to work in the second half. He's sitting there on the sidelines. There's nothing he can do about it. Brady, I mean, the GOAT just marches down.
Well, that's the truth.
That was an absolute brilliant performance. And, you know, he kept...
I know Brady's so clutch, but man, is Gronk and Edelman. They are so legit.
Yep.
Like, Edelman, you could just... Like, the amount of plays that it's like third and nine. And, like, you give the ball back to Kansas City, they're going to go down and score. And you know that. And they just do it.
But that's Romo. Romo's calling it last night.
As great as everyone played yesterday, it was Romo's day. It was Romo's evening.
But I want to ask you something. Is it like, do you find it that fascinating that he's understanding what's coming up?
Yes. I think it's Rain Man-esque. It's Dustin Hoffman sitting in the booth with Jim Nance.
The question is, if Tony Romo's sitting up in a booth with Jim Nance and knows everything that's going on, how come the Kansas City Chiefs doesn't have a guy up in their booth that knows the same darn thing?
I don't know. I don't know.
Why doesn't someone hire Tony Romo out of the booth and say, just sit in our defense and say, here it comes.
Because they probably can't
pay him enough.
It's
probably too late after the huddle.
That's the thing. He's calling it right as Brady's about to snap.
And he's got the aerial view and he's looking at it. Now, you also got to remember, these guys have meetings with the quarterbacks and the coaches. I think they share information, and there's an embargo clearly until you get into the game. You know, Romo can't go and tell people, "Hey, Tom said when they do this, that means that."
Right.
But I do think he's a little bit more informed. But
plus,
he was flawless. Romo was flawless.
Tony Romo made a lot of money as a quarterback, but he is just printing. He's going to be printing.
He's this era's John Madden. He is the best thing in the booth going right now. He's energetic. He's passionate. He's fun. He breaks down X's and O's, but he relays them to the football dummies like us.
Like me.
And we're like, okay, that makes sense.
Yep.
That's what Gronk's got to do here. And Gronk goes out and does it. And if he doesn't do it, you realize why the play broke down, because he didn't do what Romo said he was supposed
to. Crazy, where he's like, it's going to go wide right over the top through to Edelman.
Yeah. It's remarkable. But you're right. Like, the tight end matchup really, I don't know if it's getting enough attention, because Travis Kelce is considered the best tight end in the world. Gronk held that mantle forever until he started breaking down. And Kelce has owned it the past couple of years. Kelce was a complete non-factor. And in the fourth and overtime, it was the Rob Gronkowski show. As great as Brady was, Edelman, Gronk made some unbelievable plays. He blocked all night.
He's just too big.
He's exceptional.
He's a coaching man. They just know what to take away.
That's the truth.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, Belichick was... I don't know if you saw their post-game presser and that, like... Belichick was actually kind of loose and smiling, and
he's going to his third straight Super Bowl,
fourth in the last five years. I expected him to be like, "We're going to Atlanta," I expected that, but he was very good. And then Brady was enjoying himself. You see his Instagram and that, him and Gronk walking to the bus.
He's in the content game, man. We talk about this.
Yeah,
LeBron and Brady are in the content game because Brady has somebody employed, because he's not editing in the Puff Daddy song.
I know.
And the Still Here hashtag.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, someone is working with his Instagram team. He's like a team.
Yeah.
And they're like, shoot a video, you and Gronk send it, and we'll send this back to you, and you post it.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Like, he is in the content game. He had a hype video made before the game.
Yeah, with
the Tom Brady hype video.
Ortiz.
Yeah. That's Tom Brady. That's his production company.
Right, you're right. It's somebody that has his passwords and goes, Tom, you know, we're going to release this out. This is, it's very cool.
It's incredible.
I thought it was great.
So Dean Blandino will join us, longtime NFL referee and Fox NFL rules analyst at 4:30. So we'll get more into that around 4:30. But we'll come back and we're going to be touching on the games all throughout the afternoon. But there's a lot of Leaf news to get into as well. They lost both Friday night and last night. Some big changes at practice and some big comments coming out of the head coach. We'll let you hear that. We'll comment ourselves next. All right, Dean Blandino, longtime NFL ref, will join us in about 10 minutes. Marcellus Wiley at 5:30. The Leafs had a tough weekend. They lose on Friday night in Florida. They were horrible. And last night, it wasn't much of a game.
You could see the Friday game coming.
I don't see it that way. I hear what you're saying. You can understand a trap game, but they've been playing so horribly.
You're right. My point is when I watched it, I would have given them a one-off. Okay, bounce back Sunday. Like, kick Arizona's ass and be like, okay, like we got ahead of ourselves. We went in, had a big emotional win against Tampa. Good for you. But you threw up a dud against the Panthers. No problem. Do it a one-off. You're right. They haven't played well since Christmas.
It's been a while. Yeah, it's been even before then.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
But I hear you, yes.
I'm just saying, like,
Arizona had a depleted, like, they had some guys out.
Yeah. Yeah, last night was a really difficult loss.
It's a little more concerning.
Yeah, that was a difficult loss, and you can tell.
The only way I could describe it was too many, what I call, 3 a.m.ers. Do you know what that means?
The 3 a.m. shuffle? Like,
no. You know when you think everything's good, you look at a player, he's like, skates look cool, his hair's done, he's dialed in. William Nylander's looking good, Nazem Kadri's looking good, Patrick Marleau's stud. The lights come on for game time?
Nothing.
Not so good. Remember back in the day, 3 a.m., the lights came on? Not so good.
No,
you look
it wasn't.
Good on paper, you look good everywhere else, but when it comes time to...
Well, I think this is the problem that they have right now. I'm not freaking out because I think this can be actually a very valuable experience for them overall, because everything has been relatively easy for a lot of these guys for the past couple of years. No playoff success.
No, they got to deal with this garbage right now.
This is a good thing because it's never going to be easy in any career.
Right.
And I think they feel like it should be easy. And I think it dates back to not only when Nylander signed, but when Matthews returned to the lineup. Because I think both of them came back, and for the longest time, the Leafs were winning and playing incredibly well, and it was like, wait until we get this guy back and that guy back.
We would say that on the show.
We all said it. And I think it absolutely seeped into their psyche. And ever since those two came back, neither of them have played well.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole team as a whole...
A little out of sync.
They look out of sync. They're not... They're playing as if they think it should be a layup.
Yeah, and
it
both of them seem to suck the life out of each other and suck the life out of the team.
Yes.
It's like, and now you've had the one guy, John Tavares, just score his 30th goal last night, and he's like, okay, we're taking Marner away from you. Oh, thanks a lot. Well, I know you got to get things going and change things up, but...
No, they're a one-line team right now.
I can see their rationale.
They're a one-line team.
I can see their rationale. Like, Babs probably had to go to him and say, listen, you're playing great. Mitch is playing great, but I need to get the other people going. This may be a short-term thing, maybe not. I think it's good for Austin. Also, what's concerning for me is their deficiencies are getting exposed, and that's their defensive play. That's the one thing. Like, they're, you know, Freddie is a great goaltender, and when he, a lot of times your goaltending can mask that. When he's just average, now, you know, like, careful. Remember I said, like, Jake Gardner for Martin Marincin. There's the trade-off last night. How'd that look?
No, it was ugly.
That Martin Marincin, he had himself a night last night, boy.
Yeah. Well, he's not an NHL building. Player. He's not an... I mean, it's, the proof is he's in not, the pudding. He's been kicking around long enough.
But
that's an obvious one, and I agree with you, Noodles. But I actually think it's bigger than that. I think it revolves around their best player, and that's Austin Matthews. Like, if Matthews is not playing up to his potential, and he has not been for quite some time,
Yeah. It
changes the complexion and the rhythm of the team. And I understand it, why Marner is on his line today, and we'll see what happens come Wednesday night.
Yeah,
but change. I do think it says something about how they feel about his game, where they feel like he needs help to get going. And I believe he has the potential. I've seen it before. We all have. He's a top five player in the world when he's chugging. But if he wants to get to that next level, it comes with consistency, and it comes with an understanding that he doesn't need the help. He hands out the help.
He's the guy.
The old, it's not, the saying isn't, hey, the players around him made him great. It's right. He made the players around him better. That's what happens with Gretzky, with Crosby, with McDavid. And this idea that it's on the coach to get Matthews going, I think is wrong. I think it's on the coach to put him in a situation and help him. It's on the player to get going.
Oh, for sure.
It's on the player to get going. This idea, like, do you think Ken Hitchcock's like, I got to get McDavid going? No, McDavid's rocking every single night. Does he have one-offs? Of course he does. Sure. He's human.
Yeah.
Do you think Mike Sullivan's like, what am I going to do with Sid? Maybe I got to put Phil with him for a week.
I agree with you, but never. It does come down to line mates sometimes. It's like Bergeron has an off night too, but he knows the next night he's going back out there with Pastrnak and Marchand.
This isn't an off night, though. This is a month and a half. This is a lot of play for a guy who is capable of a lot more.
I will say
this. He's just got a lot of perimeter in his game right now. It's like
a lot of drive-bys.
I don't know what it is. It's like cool stick handling on the perimeter and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden it doesn't go in. And he'll just like stick check and then lull back. And he's not there.
Right.
Not even close, actually.
You made a great point about, and this actually not only applies to the team, but it applies to Austin, the figurehead of the team. Everything just happens so easy. Early on in the season, remember he was on pace for whatever. It was a joke, like 160 goals or whatever.
Started out with four goals in his first game ever.
But it was just, the puck would come to him and it's just, okay, it's in the net, a little backhand saucer. Like, everything was so easy and it looked effortless. And I remember on this show, I'm like, yeah, he scores every game. Like, it just felt like that. Now, and I'm not going to make excuses. Like, that's not what I'm here to do. What I'm saying is, he gets an opportunity and I haven't seen him... He's usually so smooth and effortless. He jams himself up over the net, hit the post. Like, and now teams are, like Arizona, they blocked a bunch of shots yesterday. You know what the one thing they did very well? He had no time and space. He was trying to get it off. They were in his face, stick on puck, stick. And he has to get to middle ice. He has to create his own havoc. And he's capable of doing that, but it comes back to maybe Mike's looking at it and say, I may have to put somebody there that can give him a little bit more open ice instead of him creating it.
Well, and that's a segue into a clip that I think is quite significant, the comment from Mike Babcock today when he was asked about pairing Matthews and Marner, something we've all kind of fantasized for years because they're both exceptional talents. And,
right.
But I am still a believer that when Matthews is on his game, he is, you know, the focal point of this team. We all believe he's going to be the future captain, or he's got all the makings of it based on what right. we see. He's in a funk right now. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not saying, you know, write him off or that he won't get out of it. Of course he will. But it's a pretty extended funk. And this says something, I think, about how Babcock feels about the situation. Listen to Mike Babcock explain what comes with this matchup, Matthews and Marner.
The biggest challenge is when you play with Mitchie, and I've been playing him against the best players all the time, you got to play against the best players. So that means you got to really commit without the puck. And so that's the challenge. And so Tavares has done a great job for us like that. So we're going to change things around for a bit. I'm not telling you it's going to last warm-up, a period, a game. It's just that's what we had today for the skate.
So Marner's the one with the biggest responsibility on the team. Like, that's what Babcock's telling you. That Matthews, all right, man, you want a challenge, you can go up and play with the best player. Like, that's a pretty significant comment.
Mitch Marner is basically saying, John LeClair, you're going to play with Eric Lindros.
Well, but it is a backhanded.
That's in the moment. It's a recency bias stuff. But
correct.
And Marner deserves that credit. Marner has been better.
You know what?
But
first period last night, and they talked about some puck luck and opportunities. Mitch Marner, every time he was on the ice, he almost scored a goal in the first period. It was so impressive. He gets on the ice, it's like, man, just missed, semi-breakaway. He kind of sagged a bit in the second. He coughed one up in the third, a big one.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, I
thought that 4 minutes in the game, Kemper made the right toe save when he did that cut back into the middle of the ice.
Mm-hmm.
I almost say that, I know hindsight, you can look back. That was my TSN turning point for that game, because that they score early there. Arizona's back on their heels, and you're like, okay, like Marner was really good in the first, and the fact that he came up with feathers, there was some luck, there was, you know, a great save by Kemper, but you look at it, I think there's points throughout a game where things can shift. Arizona felt they were in that game after the first. They got lucky getting out of there, and then after that, there was really no. You know,
right. We'll
Arizona
get back into
defended
the...
that game like the last 12 minutes. They were defending it like they just kept flicking it out.
Mm-hmm.
But game within
Matthews,
a game.
Marner. I
game
mean,
within
that's,
a game.
We'll
yeah.
get back to that
exactly
at five. That's the bigger discussion
for sure.
The game
absolutely.
Last night, whatever. But you know where this team goes. I do think, you know, a significant conversation right now is the learning experience stuff, which I think in the end can really help this group.
Sure.
It's not only the players and the coach. This is the first time Kyle Dubas has been in a slump as a GM in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guys who have been doing it for 20 years, you're like, oh, Jimmy Rutherford's going to make a trade tonight. You just know it. That's his MO.
Right.
You know, Lou will do something. He's sending somebody down. I don't know what Dubas does in a slump. I'm not sure if Kyle really knows because he hasn't been in this situation.
Yeah, it's kind of been a smooth sail
right.
for
Which,
him,
again,
right?
is a good thing for him. He's got to get these reps. You know, we'll see what Kyle Dubas ends up doing with this because they're playing 500 hockey for a month and a half.
Yeah, it's not good. I think they're on pace right now for like 82 points or something. It's not.
They'll be fine.
Not good.
They'll be all right.
Not good.
They're going to be
pull the trigger,
fine.
Man. How many times do you have a chance to win?
Well, but the thing is, they got to get. Forget getting back to where they were. They got to get above that.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be growing as you get towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
All right, Ray's coming up in half an hour. Yesterday, the refs, the officials, NFL compound was under the spotlight a lot. And to recap what went on yesterday with the Stripes, we're joined now by former head of NFL officiating and Fox NFL rules analyst Dean Blandino. How you doing, Dean?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
We're doing pretty well. Let's begin with the non-call on the pass interference.
Yeah.
Obviously, everyone knows it should have been called, but can you take us through this? Could the whole crew have like convened and made a different call, or is that specifically on the one guy on the sideline?
No, I mean, someone else could have come in. You look at that play, and just coverage-wise, there's one official that is responsible for that receiver, but once the ball is in the air, then multiple officials should go to that location. So you can get one official, maybe from their perspective, they didn't see the contact as being early, but someone else can definitely come in and say, hey, from my angle, he was clearly early, and they can put the flag down late. What they can't do is they can't review it with instant replay. It has to be done on the field by the crew on the field.
How do you explain that when you, I mean, it's the common phrase, you had one job, that's your responsibility, yeah. And people are labeling this the most egregious non-call in the history of the NFL. How does this happen? At this particular point in the game, how does it happen?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, I was in that position where you have to, you know, answer that question. You know, how does that happen when somebody's responsible for looking at that, and we see it, and we get the benefit of replay, and it looks worse on the reviews in slow motion. But again, they're championship game officials. They're there for a reason. They have to make that call. I think, you know, you watch that game and you know, you guys played in the NHL, you kind of deal with that too, is, you know, in the postseason, in the playoffs, do the officials kind of swallow their whistle and let more go? And I think that's where this crew was. You watch that game and they were letting them play, which is good to an extent. But then I think they got lulled into a false sense of security, and they didn't call really, you know, the ones that needed to be called late in the game.
Are you somewhat shocked of the social media activity by the opposition players who were kind of like, back in the day it was like, you know what, we don't know what happened there. Players would just act dumb. But players were going on Instagram from the Rams.
Todd Gurley's post.
I mean, it was almost, I don't know. It's just, I would never do that. I would never condone that. But was that somewhat shocking?
It really was, because I hadn't seen that in the NFL. In my experience, and like you said, you talk about it. Look, they know they got away with one. Let's smirk and let's not say anything and let's move on. And it's almost as if they're celebrating it, and that's just not a great look. And it was surprising because I haven't seen it to this degree where guys are, you know, posting that stuff. And again, it goes to where we are today with all this social media stuff. Everybody wants, you know, to get their piece of attention. So,
with Dean Blandino, former head of NFL officiating and Fox NFL rules analyst, in the nightcap, there was obviously the review of Edelman and the punt return and whether or not it hit him or not. In those circumstances, how nervous is the league? Like, biggest game, there's probably 40, 50 million people watching, if not more. It's, you know, in the fourth quarter, it's a massive play. When you're reviewing that and they're talking back with whoever they are in New York or whatever, I mean, can you place us in that scene and in those shoes? How nervous would you be making that kind of a judgment call?
Well, there's no question that if you let the situation and the magnitude of the game get to you, then you're not going to be able to really make a great decision. And I've been in those situations. I've been in the replay booth during Super Bowls. And you have to block that out. You can't think about, oh my God, 100 million people are waiting for me to make this decision. You have to treat it, easier said than done, but you have to treat it like, you know, a week two game at 1 o'clock. And the really good, the good officials and even the good athletes, they're able to block that out and, you know, not get overwhelmed by the moment. But it can, you know, if you don't have that, the right mindset and that mental fortitude, it can impact you. And believe me, I've been in those situations. And if you start to let the situation dictate what you do, you're not going to make a good decision.
Are there ramifications for refs when they do make a mistake? I mean, they didn't mean to do that last night, but I know in the National Hockey League, refs get written up. There's a file on them. They don't get to ref bigger games in the playoffs, that type of stuff. So a guy who misses a call like that last night, is what would be the ramifications?
Yeah, there's no question they're evaluated. They're evaluated on a weekly basis during the season. They get a report. These officials were at the top of their position. That's why they were in that game, and they were evaluated over the course of the entire season. And again, you're not going to fire an official for one missed call, but if there's a body of work where they're not performing up to the acceptable standard, that's when changes have to be made. So this is definitely something that will be part of their, you know, evaluation, and will stay with them. And again, I don't anticipate there being any fallout in terms of firing those officials, because those are your best officials that are working that game. But again, it will follow them, and no one feels worse than those guys that were part of that non-call. I can guarantee you that.
Really appreciate the insight. Thank you for doing this, Dean.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
There's Dean Blandino, Fox NFL rules analyst.
Yeah, those Instagrams, and it's like, what do you, like, you want karma to bite you right in the ass?
I thought those were made up. Like, I thought they were...
Well,
like,
they were. They were Photoshopped.
I know, but I didn't think
it was... But the actual players put them out.
That's what I mean.
Todd Gurley posted on it. He was the originator. He had a brutal game, too. I mean, he's lucky his team digged him out, and I guess the refs kind of helped them out.
That is bad. But, that is bad karma. You just shut your mouth and move on.
Yeah. You're asking for trouble from the officials.
Yeah, what do you think? That you think you're going to get any calls in the future doing stuff like that? That's idiotic and irresponsible.
You're goofing on them. Like, yeah. I don't mind the candid nature of the post game from the defensive back.
Right.
Like, I don't
mind. He was asked the question.
He's like,
hey,
this is what went down.
He was emotional. Like, I was fine with that.
Right.
To go on to mock the officials... When you got a game around the corner, too, like, that's...
Not smart.
Now, where are they? Is New England the favorite?
No, technically the Rams. Vegas opened up the Super Bowl. Rams, like, -1. It's essentially a pick 'em.
Okay.
The line will move a little bit. You know, by the time the Super Bowl opens up, I wouldn't be surprised if the Pats are slight favorites. But
this isn't a slam dunk for the Pats?
No, by any means. Okay. And that's the thing. You know, I understand it. That this is the ninth time Brady and Belichick are going. It's the third year in a row, fourth time in the past 5 years. I understand the redundancy of it all, but as I said last week, they never put forth a bad Super Bowl. Win or lose,
that game
it's
last
fun.
It was insane.
Win or lose, it comes down to the fourth quarter every time the Pats are in the Super Bowl, and that's what I expect in 2 weeks, because they're always prepared. They're always ready to execute. Brady will keep them in it. Belichick will keep them in it, and I expect the same out of the Rams. I mean, the Rams have been very technically sound all year, and they're prepared, and they're ready, and you know, we got 2 weeks to tee up the game, so we're not going to do that a lot today. But, you know, the Pats, you can hate them all you want, but the stats are, like, since the beginning of 2001, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the Pats have won 29 playoff games. The other top two teams in the AFC, Steelers and Colts, who have won a lot.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking 18 years. Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, multiple Super Bowls, all that. Combined, the Steelers and Colts have won 28. So the Pats have won 29. Those two other teams have won 28 combined. That's how much
crazy
winning comes with this. And the Pats, they always have a bye, so they never play wild card weekend either to rack up wins.
I couldn't believe it when I was talking to somebody about the Super Bowl I went to. It was in Jacksonville. I don't know what year it was. They beat the Eagles and, like, Terrell Owens and...
2004, I think that was.
Yeah, I'm like, that was so long ago. I was still playing.
What about the roughing the one that Brady got the call on the shoulder?
Was Phantom. But, you know, those are always subjective calls anyway.
Yeah.
Those are protecting the Golden Boys. And,
right.
You know, I don't think that had much of a difference. I mean, you could argue that. I'm sure Chiefs fans would, but... It was a wild afternoon, regardless of
where you stood on it. Four lead changes.
It was
crazy.
Both games.
That Mahomes, he played well, too.
Like. Second half he did. I mean, they didn't put up any points in the first half.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. You really want to blame something, go back and execute in the first half. They couldn't put points on the board.
Yeah.
Ray Ferraro coming up in 20 minutes. Marcellus Wiley on what went down yesterday. He'll join us at 5:30. Frank's Red Hot wants to add a kick to your football party this February. Text the keyword Frank's and your name to 105050, and you could win 53 bottles of Frank's Red Hot and $2,500 cash to spend on your party anywhere you want. All the details are up on the website, tsn1050.ca. You can email us live at tsn1050.ca. Paul sending an email about the Super Bowl line. He said, you're right, Hayes. The line did open with the Rams as a favorite, but everything is flipped. Money is already coming in, just hammering the Pats. So Pats will be favored by kickoff, which isn't a surprise because they're more of a public team. Everyone knows the Pats.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of the casual bettors are going to bet on Brady and Belichick.
You're not going to make a ton of money, right? If you bet $1,000 on even the Rams,
yeah,
$1,100.
Yeah, you're not, you know.
Like it wasn't... Like, it's not that they're 10-point underdogs or anything. Like, it's, The prop bets is what we're going to be. And I had something for you the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was in Buffalo. I was watching Buffalo play. I want to say they have prop bets during the game.
They might online
and stuff. It was a broadcast. It was like penalty minutes. It was a prop bet. I think it
was Buffalo.
Are you
going to be doing that garbage when we're in Vegas? Like, are you going to be going in and be like...
No, I'll place a bet at the sports book. Like, there's a sports book at MGM.
I made
sure.
I made
the games and stuff. Like, the game we're going to, I'm going to put a little scratch on that.
You should, but...
The Leafs keep playing like this, I'm going to hammer the Golden Knights.
But it was interesting just to see... Oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't Buffalo. It was the Devils.
I was going to say, it wouldn't have been the state of New York. It's got to be in New
Jersey.
Yeah, that makes sense.
4 minutes left in the game.
Yeah.
They had a bet on who had more penalty minutes.
Yeah. So
I was watching Jersey play the other day.
Because it's legal in New Jersey, which means the casino's probably pumping a ton of money into it. Like, that's another thing that gets forgotten, that the league, they may not get direct revenue from
it.
But the TV networks would love legalized gambling because the casinos will spend money on the broadcast.
Yeah. It was a Saturday night, Anaheim, or Saturday afternoon, Anaheim, Jersey. And it was like 4 minutes. I was watching it.
Watching that game?
With like 4 minutes left.
What are you doing?
4 minutes left. There was a prop bet came across the screen. I'm like, I gotta make a mental note so Hayes would.
And I like that.
Penalty minutes for like 13-9 or something.
That would be, it's only in wherever it's legal, right? It's legal in Jersey and. Probably down in Nevada. Probably happens for Golden Knight games, I would think. But why would you ever watch that game? That's awful.
Well, I was just tracking. I mean, you like to watch other teams to see what they're doing, right?
Do you? I don't know about that. I mean, Anaheim, Jersey. I'll give you Winnipeg, Nashville or something. But
dude, when it's on, you just watch it.
Yeah.
Rays coming up. Our boys in Edmonton are at it again. We got to discuss them if we can find time because there's a lot going on in our own backyard. Let's be honest here. Matthews and Marner could be line mates come Wednesday night. The Leafs dropping both games over the weekend. What happens here with Kyle Dubas and his approach to all of this? How do they get out of this rut? And Marcellus Wiley on what was a wild Sunday in the NFL. He's coming up at 5:30.